Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or if you want to, you can join us on Twitch. The URL for that is twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. It's SFUONCALL. And you can join that. I will be starting that Twitch stream sometime between like 9:30 and 9:35. So if I don't start immediately at 9:30, please be patient. I will be there. I will be starting up. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is also sfuoncall. And I have a personal account called Paul Franz, and I do all kinds of wonderful things. That's like discussing being Catholic, and also I'm happy to discuss anything technology related, especially security. These days, I'm following many security people on Twitter. And that account, of course, is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And of course, there's my tertiary account, my Franz Games account, which I announce news, including client updates like the one that happened this week, which I'll get back to it later on in this news segment. News from A to B this week: Steve Cole is recovering from surgery, but so he didn't get much done, but he did get a little bit of work done on the art for the Tholian Master Starship book. And Steve Petrick, always busy on updating SFB, and also currently the Tholian Master Starship book is his current focus when it comes to delivering new product. Of course, Gene is busy keeping Facebook, Twitter, and the BBS all saved for those who visit their wonderful platforms. And also, keeping an eye out on things. And moving on to the Sapphire Star Tournament, we've got one game done for round two. We actually almost have another one done, but we had a minor issue with one of them going on a two-week vacation and basically didn't get the game finished in time for the deadline, and Steve Petrick is replacing them. Andy Koch is replacing Brian Evans for the round two. I need to talk to Mr. Petrick about how that's going to be done, whether it's just going to pick up that Brian's game or they're going to start a new game. I'm not sure which one because he did not specify in the email that was sent out. But we do have one completed, which is funny enough, my opponent. He lost in the second round. It was a Lyran against a Hydran. And, of course, that's always an interesting matchup because of you have the greatest shield against Hellbores, the ESG. And, of course, there's the downside of that, which is the biggest attractor to Hellbores. So that, because of that interaction, Hellbores automatically hit ESGs in case you didn't remember. I'm sure you did, but I brought it up anyway. So the Lyran lost. If you want some details, go visit the discussion board. That's where it is posted. Yes, we still use BBSs. And Lord knows those are becoming more popular for focused audiences because of the control factor for one, but other things like that. Also this week, online client was posted up, got it up on Sunday. I did finish adding support for adding new empires and ships via just adding them to the library for the campaign room. Because previously it was hard-coded. That's now been resolved. I even added some new fleet counters for the Carnivans, the Paravians, the Frax, and Paladine. So they all have fleet counters now. So I did a little work for those. Some of relatively easy to do, but they are now completed. Now, also I fixed an issue with the range radius. That's so that when you... The whole idea of range radius is just to basically implement like an ESG. So you actually can see the ESG on the ship. And now I fixed it because previously you could see it locally. And if you want to see it remotely, you actually had to sync the board. That's fixed now. So that when you add it, it will automatically add it to the other person's board, and it actually will show immediately. There was also a minor glitch before where it would add it, but unless that part of the screen was redrawn, even that you'd never see it. So I had it so that it definitely forced a full repaint, so you could see it show up on the screen. And lastly, but not leastly, we have the library report. Not much going on there. I saw Frank was doing some fixes on some of the Gorn third generation SSDs, but that's about it. So the complete conversion still stay at 2,522. We get to be converted 799 with a percent complete at 75.94%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and the only Pawn Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, yes, I'm touching my face. And tonight we have Barry. We actually have Gary is in the chat room tonight, which is Gary Carney from long, long past. Have not heard from him for a long time. I know he used to be a regular here. But, you know, I know that we had issues with Skype, and Lord knows it's probably expensive as all get out to call in from Canada. So I don't blame him at all for that. And Lord knows Skype killed us in the long run. And of course, Dave's in the chat room also. And of course, we just let you know, yes, we still have the Twit channel is all up and running. So don't mind me. That's wrong one. I'm trying to at the moment. That's the previous broadcast, probably. Yes. And I was hoping you're not hearing that, because that'd be quite an echo. But anyhow, getting back to, we're actually going to talk about the Jamakian pirates tonight. I was pointed out by our dear friend Gary that there's a lot of errata. Unfortunately, I did not realize that at the time when I was preparing for this evening. And I definitely need to read up on it, but we'll go with what we currently have. I did grab the SSDs for the LMC, because previously I didn't, because I didn't think I was going to need them. But tonight I kind of needed them basically because of there is no Terminator cruiser for this. And before I bring Barry on, what I figure I would start off the podcast with, which is the email from Gary. There's nothing too personal in here, so I figured it's okay for people to view. And he's saying that he listened to it, and the one thing that he wanted to point out, which I think is critical, is that in the errata file, which he actually referenced and I did not grab, a document, the drill element of the boson drill has no effect on PA panels, whereas the bit element impacts against the facing PA panel. In other words, the boson drill is virtually useless against the Andromedans. And he just mentioned that he tried to handle interaction actually with the FedCom conversion project that he did a while back. I'm one of the best. We haven't got that Gary and ADP has not gotten enough playtest results from those rules to actually release it as a product yet. Hopefully that will happen one day. Also, he said it was worth noting that the Luthiki War Cruiser is an imported hull from the Banduve. Oi. The Luthiki were given a hull to use as a fleet flagship when they joined the Banduve. I'm sure Barry knows how to pronounce it, and I just don't. Imperium. It might be worth looking at their native designs, which were very different in hull form than the Banduve built war cruiser. And he also mentions about the drama in Femcom. Oh, well, I need to look at that to see if I have any ship cards. If not, I'll see if I can get a couple ship cards from ADB, because he was creating a lot of them for play by email for the FedCom when that was really, really popular. And at this point, it's not nearly as popular. I've actually got one game going on right now. Yoo-hoo! Hopefully we will get that. It's actually going quite slowly because of different issues with the first time players, mainly because of the breaks that are early on, and it's taking a little time to get a good turnaround. Part of that issue is actually my own, in that they do it like, oh, they replied to me on a Thursday night. Thursday night, I'm getting set up for the podcast. Friday night, of course, I have the whole issue with bowling, and I might be able to get to it on Saturday. You know, so it makes things very, very hard to do overall. But also, you mentioned about Shapeways has the first wave of X ships, and that's Banduve or Vi. Okay, I'll go and yeah. Don't mind me. Ooh. Okay. Forgot about the 3D. So this is the Federation CX cruiser, you know, in the 3D view. Looks quite nice. And I figured I'd just show you just to be able to show it to you tonight. I know that some people don't like it too much. Okay, so let's close that. And with that, we will welcome Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, Gary. How you doing? Hey, Paul.
Yeah, unfortunately, Gary.
I haven't heard from you in a while, Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Unfortunately, Gary's not on. He's not talking. He's just in the chat room this evening.
Oh, okay. So he can hear us, but he can't talk to us. Okay.
That is correct. That is correct. But, yes, I agree okay. that the Luthiki natives, I'm assuming that the destroyer and the war, actually there's that's the war cruiser, sorry, like the destroyer and the frigate are natives, because they have definitely a totally different look.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did notice. I saw the errata tonight also, and saw that mention of the positron lancet. Is it? Yeah, having the drill in the element against
right. That's the boson drill.
Yeah, the boson drill. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. We thought it was going to be killer against Andromeda. Turns out it's the reverse.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. So, moving on. When you mentioned Jamokian, I was like, yeah, I don't seem to remember A, any tournament cruisers, and D, they're like really lightweight ships.
Right.
So. Excuse me. So which one to use as a basis? And obviously we'd have to enhance and beef it up quite a bit.
I mean, for the Jamokians?
Yeah,
I agree, because the I'm looking at it, and the biggest... Actually, let me look at this. This one, turn this one. I think the biggest one they have is the light cruiser as part of the initial SSDs. Now,
correct, but I almost think the new destroyer might be something to start with and enhance rather than the light cruiser.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is the light cruiser actually has armor on it. Did you see that?
No. The light cruiser?
Yeah, it has armor.
I don't see the armor. No, I don't see the armor. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay, I see it now. There's the five boxes right there.
Yeah. And that light cruiser also, the problem is that the option mounts are all separated. Whereas in the new destroyer, which is five BPVs less, all three option mounts are together. And the new destroyer... Okay. The light cruiser has, let's see, one, two,
okay,
three medium lasers, two early lasers, two twin lasers, and four light lasers. Whereas the new destroyer has five medium lasers. So let's see, one, two, three. Yeah, has better lasers. Actually, has better lasers. Other than it's missing a pair of. Yeah, because it replaces two of the early lasers with medium lasers. And now it does lose two. What I'm thinking about is possibly taking the new destroyer and making a double hull version of it, kind of like the light cruiser's a triple hull version. But I was thinking of a double hull version of the new destroyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm still taking a look at the light cruiser though. Gary was just mentioning that in Captain's Log number 48, there was a new light cruiser for the Jamokians that he says that if we were going to base it off for a tournament cruiser, that would be the one to do. Unfortunately, I don't have Captain's Log number 48 downloaded at the moment in time.
I don't have access to that. Is there any way that that SSD could be emailed to me, or is that a no-no?
I can probably email it to you. You mean now?
Well, maybe not now, but
yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, I can do it later on. I have no qualms about sending a single ship. You know.
Yeah.
I think that's fine as long as you don't share it out to the world. Okay. You know. That's the one thing.
Right, right. Well, that would be a basis of a tournament cruiser.
Right.
But, yeah. So, I like the distortion field generator. It's not the old Romulan cloak is it's got so many problems. It's so hard to use.
Well,
it's almost a useless system.
No, I don't say it's useless, but I agree that it's difficult to use. But like anything, when it comes to a cloak, that is, once you cloak, you got to know how you're going to uncloak.
Uncloak.
That was always the difficult part about it, and obviously, the tough part. Also, another tough part is how do you handle the cloaking and uncloaking and the cloaking and uncloaking.
Right.
Or decloaking.
Yeah. Now the problem with uncloaking with a Romulan cloak is that. Hang on a second. But yeah, the problem with uncloaking with a Romulan cloak. Is that it takes so much power that the decloak process leaves you incredibly vulnerable.
Right.
So all somebody has to do is, oh, you have cloaked. Now, if you fire a plasma R and then cloak, obviously whoever is around you is going to be getting out of Dodge City while that plasma R is coming in, giving you hopefully enough time to decloak.
Right.
But the problem is that you may not have enough time to recharge that plasma R. And you can't use the cloak to get in close and decloak and fire. Because by the time you do fire, you've had a unreturned volley.
Oh, agreed. I agree. There's some there's some benefits to the distortion of field generator. Obviously the biggest one is that you actually can fire while under the distortion field while it's active. Now, of course, there's the big penalty for that, which is you have to fire using passive fire control. And at that point, also, you void that distortion field generator, that activation.
Yeah. And if you fire while it's up, you get distorted. You have to pay the penalty hexes, too.
Right.
Yeah. But the distortion field generator does go up and goes down instantly. Which is kind of nice.
Oh, agreed. But there's also the other issues with the DFG. One, it's only up to 3 penalty hexes, so you don't have the double range or anything like that. You don't lose lock on when the DFG is activated.
And you can be tractored.
Right, you can be tractored, and you getting tractored actually voids the DFG.
Yes.
Which,
right.
It's like, okay, so the biggest way, the easiest way to defeat it is just to tractor them. And what's worse about the DFG, and I think this is why they mentioned in the rule that no one else actually decided to use a DFG or, to incorporate that into the designs of their ships, is that you have to want the power has to be out of warp. It costs like 1/6 of the amount of the original warp power for that unit.
Right.
Now, you have to pay for it in full in EA.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use reserve power to actually, like, with a cloak.
Reserve warp.
No, you can't. It says, as stated, in MG-123, DFGs can be armed from reserve power. Okay. Although they're usually done with contingency allocation as units have reserve power. Okay, I thought. Okay, they can't be held, of course. Okay.
Well, but that's an interesting thing, because in the errata, it says that once activated, you can leave it up for 32 impulses.
Wow.
And if you activate it at, say, impulse 16, you do not have to pay for it the next turn, and you have the first 16 impulses of that turn to leave it up. So you could have it, so you pay for it at the beginning of turn X, activate it on turn X impulse 16, and don't put any more power into it, and it stays up till impulse X plus 1, dot 16.
Wow.
So
you're paying for it for, when you activate, you're paying for it for a full 32 impulses.
Correct.
After, as upon actually activation. Huh. That is interesting. That is really interesting.
What it means is that you activate it late in the turn, you have the protection, and then you have the following turn where you don't power it, you still have protection, and you have a chance to get out of Dodge City because you've got power and cloak.
Right. Well, DFG.
For a partial turn. Now, the downside to doing it that way is that you do the roll for your tuning crystals twice. Because if you leave it up for just one impulse in a turn, that turn counts as a roll for your tuning crystals.
Hmm.
So that's the penalty.
Right. Which is another downside of DFG versus Cloak. Cloak never, never gets destroyed except for, you know, by a hit and run raid.
Yeah, this is an expendable resource. And you can change, it costs the same amount of power, no matter how many hexes of distortion you have. But obviously, if you use it at the lighter levels, you're going to get less dice rolls.
Right.
And you can change the level while it's active. And it just bases the number of dice rolls on the highest level that it was during a turn.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well,
now the... Yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I was going to just remind people of is that, of course, the Jamakian, being like the Orion Pirates of the LMC, have the same thing,
mm-hmm.
which is they have optional weapons mounts.
Yes.
Which makes things...
They do not have engine doubling.
Which, of course...
And although they're not... Yeah, go ahead.
No. You go.
Yeah, and although they are not nimble ships, they do have add 15 or triple for acceleration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they can triple. Yeah, I see that. Wow, that's cool.
Which means that you get your distortion field, so you started at impulse 16 the following turn, plus I got protection, and I've got all this power, and I can accelerate.
Right. And actually, one thing that Gary is pointing out is that it's intended more to help the Jamakians chip run away rather than run it tactically the way a Cloak or a Zosman stealth field would be, which is... basically, what you're pointing out, though, you know, we would still think about using it in a tactical way, like a cloaking device. And to limited effect, you could do that. But for the most part, the DFG, as I think it was pointed out, is more for, you know, runaway kind of thing.
Yeah. A cloak, you can sit there for hours under cloak in an ambush. This is not designed for that. You start using it, your crystals are going to get shredded pretty quick. It's just there to, oh crap, I need to run away.
Right. That actually brings up an interesting point, though, which is, one thing that's mentioned in the rules is that all Jamakian ships come with at least one crystal unless specified by a scenario. Many come with more than one standard equipment. Additional crystals can be bought for 5 BPV plus the energy cost needed to activate DFG for the ship and can be purchased as commander's options. So the one thing that I said stood out to me is that many come with more than one as standard equipment.
Yes.
You know, the question is why? In that case, because that if you're using have more than one available, instead of using it as a get out of jail free card kind of thing, where you activate it and then just get out of dodge. If you have more than one in a tactical situation, that implies the use of it tactically, at least in a limited capacity.
And it can be used tactically. And you think about it, okay, if near the end of the turn, I've got it charged, I fire my alpha strike and raise it. And now I have some protection until the following turn when I can A, run away, or B, wait out. In other words, let's say you fire your weapons on impulse 25. I wait till impulse 31, fire my weapons, and say, I'm going to activate it now on impulse 31, and I've got protection until my weapons have cycled.
Right.
And I'm not sure how expensive it is versus, I think it seems to be a little cheaper to use in a regular Romulan cloak on a percentage of the power available.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Because it's only one-sixth of the total amount of warp power. Well, warp movement. Yeah.
Warp plus auxiliary warp reactors. Yeah, which is quite a bit.
Right.
I think, I'm not sure even the King Eagle, how much that's got, 30 warp and how much power does it take for a King Eagle to cloak?
A lot. it's like,
right.
More, it's like almost close to 50% of its power, but it doesn't have to be warp.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But this is still a lot less percentage.
Understood.
Option maps are kind of interesting for this ship.
Yeah, because...
So...
Well, the one thing, obviously, with option mounts is the one thing you have to really think about in the option mounts is what kind of power do you currently have available to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, obviously, certain weapons require that you have at least some warp. And, I'm just looking at the power for each one of these ships. Because for the new destroyer, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16... 16, 18, total 22 power. And that's in the new destroyer. Now, obviously, this is an 85-point ship. So.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll have to see what the new heavy cruiser looks like.
Well, no, not new heavy cruiser, new light cruiser.
The new heavy, or the heavy cruiser, whatever one was in Captain Log 48 that you mentioned.
New light cruiser.
New light cruiser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. New light cruiser.
Mm-hmm. But I'm
did
assuming
you purchase Captain's Log 48.
I can, but I'm not gonna do it right this second.
Oh, okay. You didn't buy it either. Okay.
Yeah, I can buy it. It's not that much, especially the online edition.
Yeah.
I have the hard copy. I have the actual book you know, because I've write an article, I write like two or three articles for ADB, and this as a benefit for writing an article for them, they give you a free copy of the Captain's Log.
Oh, okay. But you don't have access to that hard copy right now.
Not right now, because I didn't.
It's packed away somewhere.
Oh, well, I know exactly where it is. It's down in my basement, in my box of Captain's Logs. And it's not like I don't keep it up on a shelf. What's up on my shelf right now are my son's PS3 games and my computer books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little bit tight on the money situation right now. Mm-hmm. My last trip, I spent money I did not want to. Thank you, Mr. Oh, God. If you're ever in South Haven, Mississippi, remember that probably half to two-thirds of the township's revenue comes from speeding tickets.
Oh, jeez.
They are everywhere. And the minimum fines are like $400 to $500 for like 10 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Dang it, man. Well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely obvious that that's how they make their revenue versus like a Pennsylvania.
Oh, it was.
What do you got? 10 miles over speed limit? What is it? Like, I don't know how many miles. Like $50 or something? I've never.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, understood.
Gary
was just pointing out.
First speeding ticket I have.
Mm-hmm. What is it? About the speeding ticket?
First speeding ticket I got since 1989.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've gotten one. I've had usually failure to stop, you know, and stop signs and things like that these days.
And then the cop had the audacity to tell me three times, well, you know, you better keep safe out there. And I'm thinking to myself, really? I was doing 50 miles an hour on a four-lane highway.
And the speed limit's 45, right?
You're telling me I need to... What's that?
And the speed limit's 45.
40.
40. Wow.
But... Yeah, it's like on a four-lane highway, it's like I'm looking at him going, I'm thinking to myself, you said that three times because you don't believe it yourself.
Yeah, understood. Getting back to SAB, you know, SAB.
Yeah.
Gary mentioned that it's ironic that Jamaicans are most opposed to the Anin. Yet the Anin weapons are more of a problem power-wise. And
the Anin weapons take a lot of power.
Yep.
I probably would not recommend using Anin weapons in a Jamaican.
Understood.
Unlike the Orions, they don't have engine doubling.
Right,
for one
thing. Right.
Now, the Batavai weapons,
right.
CPA-2. Now, here's the bizarre thing.
Oh,
if you look at, there's extra boxes for the option mounts for CPAs and MD3s. And so, if you have a CPA-2, it only takes one option box, but it's a two-box weapon. So by putting a CPA-2, I could put three CPA-2s in the light cruiser or the new destroyer. I don't know how many option mounts the heavy cruiser has.
New light cruiser.
Or the new light cruiser. How many option mounts does it have?
I don't know. Gary didn't mention. He might mention later, but one thing he definitely mentioned was about the DFG. Might be more useful in Jamaican and Bondavai space as DFGs, of course, blocks the use of mass drivers on the target, which obviously that means you don't want to use mass drivers on a Jamaican pirate ship.
Mm-hmm.
in my mind, because that means. Yeah, to me that means that if you ever get in a situation where you need to use your DFG, you can't fire the weapons which you have on the ship if you have mass drivers mounted on your ship. So
right.
There's no reason to mount mass drivers.
Wait a second. If you have the mass drivers, if you have the DFG, you cannot use it. Only if it's activated. Right,
only if it's activated, yes. But, you know,
yes.
There are times when you might want to use the DFG tactically. You know, that you just need that extra one, you know, an extra three hexes to get a little bit closer in and then fire using passive fire control. You know? Mm-hmm. So
here's another one. So CPA-2s require one option box, but it's a two-box weapon. So by putting a CPA-2 in the option mount, you get an extra weapons box. And that's shown on the SSD.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, NDs come in ones, twos, and threes. And the Batavai tournament cruiser and the Magadine tournament cruiser have ND2s, which are basically your ship weapon. But the option mounts, it says an ND3 can be put on a ship, which is normally a base weapon,
right.
And it only takes one option mount. In fact, if you put an ND3 on it, it makes it a dump it, and you get an extra option mount box for putting an ND3 in there.
Hmm.
And that ND3 is a lot nicer. It has a range of 35 hexes and can fire every turn and carries a lot more ammo.
Oh, understood. Of course, the one thing you have to keep in mind is don't use your DFG.
Yeah.
And you tactically speaking, and you try to use the master hour at the same time because you can't.
Right. Well, but if you had the DFG up, it would be like somebody in a cloak. You're not going to use the. You're not going to fire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now I think mass drivers, you have to have fire control up to use them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they fire on. I'm not sure, but I'm not sure if they fire on passive or not.
That's a good question, because that's one thing I really didn't pay much attention to when it comes to reading the rules for the LMC weapons, is that what weapons require active fire control and cannot be fired passive. Because of most weapons can be fired on passive. Yeah, in some cases, basically, that means limited, because if I recall correctly, with passive fire control, you could still limit your firing of like plasma. I have to double check. It's been a while since I looked at passive fire control and the limitations of said passive fire control.
Right, but if you look at the Batavai, it's got three CPAs and four or five mass drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Total of seven weapons. Jamokian only has three option boxes. The Magadium has three tachyon beams and four mass drivers. So if a mass driver or a tachyon beam or a CPA takes up one option box, that ship really needs six or seven option mounts.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely...
Although it is a little heavier. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, it's definitely... I will be reporting back next week on the Jamaican light cruiser, at the very least, as anecdote to what we're looking at now, because of overall, as was pointed out, and I think Gary has good idea, which is that if we're going to base a ship to base a terminal cruiser on, we obviously, one thing we need is a larger ship. Because I'm looking at the current light cruiser is only 90 points. It needs to be somewhere around 130, 140.
Yeah.
To make it even, at the very least, able to give a good fight out of it,
Mm-hmm. Right. So, as I said, we're going to have to look at that new light cruiser to see what they did with the option maps. And there's a lot of it where it's like, oh, this weapon is only allowed in a center line option map. But what is center line? The new light cruiser, or new destroyer, rather, has all three option maps all tied together, and I would assume that they're all considered center line.
Right.
But the old light cruiser, the light cruiser, doesn't look like that at all. And I don't know whether all three are considered the center or just the center one is considered center.
Understood.
Yeah. Well, I need to get to sleep.
Okay.
I'm like wiped out.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't stay on that long, but.
That's okay. You have a good night.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Now, Gary, the NCL is not in the client. I'm not sure how many of the LMCs I actually have in the client at the current moment in time. I have to, I know definitely not the NCL. I know that for a fact. Because most of the ships that are currently in the client, that are not third gen definitions, were created by Aaron Staley, which, we hear from Aaron Staley posts on the discussion board. This is now 2 weeks ago, I think. And he starts blasting away. And it's like, Aaron, you just come back out from the cold. Yeah, that maybe that's a not exactly correct terminology. Not out from the cold. That wasn't out there. It was just that he was not really participating in SFB. He wasn't really interested. And obviously he's gotten back interested in SFB. I'm not sure what he plans on doing, because I know Aaron Staley did wonderful jobs on the miniatures. For all I know, he might be getting back into the miniatures. But he was helping out with the library a lot over the years, and he was the library keeper. He kept the library nice and clean. It was really nice because he did a wonderful job on keeping the SSDs consistent between each other, and they were really, really nice, and people really liked them. Unfortunately, he got tired of it all and decided just to move on, and that's fine. Obviously, to me, I have a vested interest in staying in SFB, and actually, I've been actually more interested in SFB and FedCom and how those things have been working out. So we're gonna have to wait and see how things go overall with the online client and all. Because one thing, obviously, I've been starting to hear, which is people asking about the mobile client again. People actually interested in playing SB online on mobile devices, and which is awesome to hear. Now, obviously, one thing I need to do is I have to remember to keep the website up to date. Because that's one thing I was mentioned. Someone send me a contact about, say, is this still being run? You know, do people still use it? And I noticed that things are, you know, a year or two old when it comes to the tournaments and when it comes to the news. You know, there hasn't been any news for like 2 years now. And, well, and that's mostly my fault because I haven't been keeping this up to date, especially in the news category. Yeah, there isn't much news going on, but there are some things. For example, the one thing that I had to add to the news portion, which was for the website, is, of course, I never added any information about the Sapphire Star Tournament and that new format that all the Rated Ace tournaments are now going to be Sapphire Star tournaments, i.e. they're going to be paid for tournaments, because the problem is we have people basically jumping ship. They disappear and you never see it for them. You never see them again. And then that would really impinge on the running of the tournaments. So we figured the best way of getting people to actually play in the tournaments is to cost. Just a little bit of moolah, you know, $10. And if you win the first round, you basically get that money back, basically, because of you are in the top eight. And so you... if you're within the top of it, you get at least get your money back. So far, I've yet to get my money back. I've yet to actually win the first round, I think. But, you know, and because there's $160 prize given out. So it's all given out. But anyhow. Yeah, and so getting back to the Jamaicans, as Gary's pointing out, that you know that the Jamaicans would probably be very jealous if they saw the M81 pirate ships armed with shield crackers or the Zosman ships armed with energy howitzers. And I would tend to agree with that statement, just because of if you just look at the Jamaicans, this is just a new destroyer, which we were keeping a close eye on. Now, the reason why this even has as much power as it has is because of this has the self-defense pack, which is, my assumption is that is, I'm not sure where, I think there's probably this thing right here. I had to look up the self-defense pack, and because unfortunately I did not look them up. Wow. The rather was updated 9 years ago. Dang. But anyhow. Yeah, because currently they have phasers and they have no other weapons, just except for the option mounts. Sorry, not phasers. Lasers, because these are LMCs. You got the mediums. You got five mediums, which are pretty good. You get two twins and two lights. Obviously, the lights are obviously the ones back here are obviously for defense only. They have overall for this new destroyer is not bad when it comes to defense because of the weapon arcs. You've got left side and right side for medium laser on each left on each side, and a twin laser on each side, and then of course you have the rear half for the two lights, which are completely defensive. Because look at the chart, you know, outside of range two they do squat. You know, but the interesting part about the light lasers is when it comes to the amount of damage that they can do. Not average damage, but can do, they can do more damage than a phaser 3. And especially range 0, again, and when it comes to range 0, they're overall, they are probably, yeah, they're better than a phaser 3 at range 0. Because if you look at the averages of 4, while the average for the phaser 3s is going to be a little less than a 4. And just a tiny bit less. You know, so if you roll poorly with a phaser 3, you're really going to suck. But that's the only way that's going to happen. Well, for, you know, the light laser, one on a two, you got five. So that's more like a damage of a phaser two. You know, in the alpha octant. So, you know, definitely. Well, we're gonna revisit for at least for a quick moment next week when it comes to the new light cruiser in cabin log number 48. I will get a electronic copy so I can get a good copy and show you on screen, because in theory, if I wanted to, I could take a picture and just show you the picture. But I'll probably just buy an initial copy, electronic copy of Caps Lock number 48. I'm pretty sure it's available. Let me actually, well, spend a moment here. Let's just go there for the moment. Let's go to warehouse 23. Let's just go to A to B. And I think it's, this is the Starfleet battles. Yeah, that shows the captain's logs. Okay, we've got 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. And, oh, the 46. Do we have 40? Please tell me we have 48. I'm just going to do this quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Got to do a quick. Ba, ba, ba. It's more color SSDs. If I have to, what I will be doing is just do a photocopy because I got a scanner. Yeah, well, it looks like I'm going to need to get a photocopy. Okay. That's easy enough to do. Yeah. Well, Gary, you are correct. Capsule number 46 is the most recent one that's uploaded. So either I can wait for, I'm not sure how long. Because I forget how quickly ADB posts new captain's logs up to the e-commerce sites. So I might have to wait for like a month or more to see captain's log number 48 posted up in warehouse 23. So I know what I'll be doing. I will be going downstairs possibly tonight, depends upon how quickly I can get this thing out, and then go to my 3-in-1 and scan it in so that I can send a copy off to Barry so we can discuss it a little more next week. We will definitely briefly cover it. It's not going to take the whole podcast talking about it, but at the very least, we will discuss it as a viable alternative as a starting point because of, if we use like the new destroyer, what I would do is not use the new destroyer. My guess, this is purely a guess on my part, and that is a cruiser for Jamaicans, if they ever had one, would be like this light cruiser. But then maybe have a fourth pylon, maybe, you know, a larger center warp. It definitely would have a movement cost of one. So that would actually require, they might even require more warp in the wings. Yeah, I think it would require more warp in the wings. Well, I will definitely take a look at that. Maybe, Gary, we will talk about the Zosman. I don't know if we talked about the Zosman. Actually, I'm pretty sure we have not. Maybe that'll be the next one, and I will make sure to take a scan of that one too, so that we can discuss it. because I'm. Well, that's one thing that Gary, we would discuss, because obviously the one thing about currently about the cloaking device in tournament play is that it is limited about the number of impulses you actually can have a cloak ship cloaked. Now, the one thing I have to, it's been a while since I looked at the rule, is that only cloaked versus cloaked? Or is that always? I think it was, if I recall correctly, it was only cloaked versus cloaked. Let me just do one thing back here, because I think... Dun, 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 dun. No. Okay, sorry. Those are... Actually, Windows. I got the SSD. I don't have the rule book up. Okay. I didn't even close that one yet. Okay. Sorry, I got sidetracked. There's an Zosman update file in capsule number 52, which helps establish more clearly that what can and cannot be one, what can and cannot be on, be, oh, done with the Zosman ship. Okay, I will look at the other one too. Okay, I'm going to have to write my down a little bit of notes here. Give me a sec. I will, let me just write a quick note here about that. Okay, I will. I got notes now. I'm good, so that's. We will have something to. Oh, there are Zosmans on. Okay, why don't I just do this? Let me make it easier on myself, which is. Let's go here. Because this is probably the best place to start. And that is. Go AMD. And they have the big listing here. And Zosman Marauders. There they are. Oh, yeah. Overall. Kind of flat ships, but you know they're interesting design. I like them. Oh well, I like this one. Cool. Yeah, that's a stealth ship. That's what in my mind. Is what you consider a modern stealth ship for what we have today when it comes to like stealth battleships, you know, where they're lower, they have these hard angles. The idea is that the radar would hit them and reflect off, you know, so it's much harder to see. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Gary. I got to him. But yeah. Really interesting ships. It's something Barry and I will be discussing with the next time we get together, whether that's going to be next week or maybe the week after that. You never know with Barry because of he's always running around the country. Which makes things interesting for him, does it not? Because of this whole coronavirus stuff that, you know, the question without, because a lot of, actually, Barry can do a lot of stuff remotely, but there's still sometimes you have to be there, right there on site, which is, in my mind, a good thing because of what he does is PLCs. Programmable logic circuits. is what he does. That's what he programs, which are interesting. He actually showed it to me one time. Now, here's the scary part that he showed me, which was that he can VPN into a client and access their systems and change the programming on their system remotely. This is freaking scary. This is the stuff, personally, I'd want air gaps so you can't do them remotely. You have to be on site. You know, well, just a simple VPN and you're there. Pff, yikes. So anyhow, I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for this evening. Gary, I was happy to see that you were around and involved in the discussion. Obviously, I would love to hear your lovely voice, but you know, I know how things are, and that is fine. You know, it is what it is. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.